TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256.
Welcome to the Throw the Flag podcast on 256today.com. 256today.com. Why are you shaking your head?
That name connotates something very different. Really. Uh-oh.
256.
Never mind. I can't correct anybody on anything because I got a bad cat. Nope.
Oh, no. Nope. Off to brilliant start.
Oh, no.
This evening.
It is late in the East.
It is.
Much later than it should be. I've had a long, hard weekend, Shawnee. Long, hard weekend.
You did some wrestling.
Did a lot of wrestling. Saw Dylan LeBlanc last night, Ooh. Who I wrote a wonderful piece about, also on 256today.com. I took the day off of work today so I could hang some shelves. So, just real tired.
Still can't do that to save my life. I was listening to a podcast earlier today. You know my love of true crime. And I was listening to I just watched a documentary on Netflix and had to consume all I could about the subject. And so I stumbled across this one podcast called Red Handed. It's a true crime broadcast. Two British women. 7 minutes of vamping before they get to the damn topic.
I was
topic.
Hoping you were going to tell me it was 7 minutes of podcast. I was like, that's my kind of show.
So, in the spirit of not doing that to our listeners, let's get right to it. And unfortunately,
I agree.
Unfortunately, it's sad news, but we do have to kind of, I think we should take a moment here and talk about Dwayne Haskins. Extremely sad news. Gone way too young. Of course, we hated him while he was with Ohio State as Alabama fans, but just wanted to pay our respects here from the top of the show.
Just a terrible, terrible, terrible story. Everything about it is heartbreaking and awful. There is nothing to take away from that story that is remotely good.
No.
Except for Adam Schefter got in trouble.
Did not see that, but that is a silver lining. Of course, our thoughts go out to families and teammates and all that. The fun stuff before we actually get to our if I can do that respectively, segue into fun stuff. Before we get to the main topic here, the Dabo Swinney cannot help himself. And I know we talk about coaches all the time on this show. It is the topic du jour every jour during the off season. So do you want to fill us in on?
Oh, I sure.
Dabo had something to say about NIL.
So I'll talk about how I came into this story even existing, because this is not going to be on my radar, this particular story.
But I clearly read our article. On
absolutely never today. Dabo. I get in the car and I have it on. I probably Mad Dog Sports or whatever. But there's a gentleman who's on the weekend crew, so I'm not super familiar with him. But he's just talking about NIL, and they're talking about how the debate is: should players get paid or should? But if they get paid, will they make mistakes? And the I come in on the part of the conversation we're talking about. These kids may not know how to pay taxes, and this can happen to anybody. I'm like, yeah, that's accurate. And yeah. So what it gets to is...
That's what we said in our NIL call.
Absolutely. it gets to that Clemson has started an NIL program in-house, which is sort of focused on getting kids deals, but also telling them what to do if you should get said
deals. And there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God.
Not... Like, that is how you do it. That's it.
It's perfect.
This
is a good thing for the sport.
That's a good thing for a college kid, period.
Yes. If we instituted mandatory, financial planning for college athletes when the
college students, period. Because, look, I'm dumber than dishwater about this, and I have a gray beard. And I still got surprised with a letter from the IRS yesterday. It still happened. So everybody could use this, especially college athletes who some percentage of them will come into a whole heap of money at the end of their tenure in college. Some of them will come into that money beforehand. And now even more of them will come into that money beforehand because it's all perfectly legal.
Is it? Did the IRS come calling because you very accurately wrote off all of your outfits for wrestling?
100%. They said nobody could possibly have bought this many clothes for work. I said, look here, IRS. I said I bought them because it's a work. That's different.
You know, frankly, if you are using Spotify account to download music for the symphony match that you had a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, is it PCW still?
It was. Yep.
Quick plug, what's the website? PCW Wrestling?
PCW Wrestling on Facebook is probably the best way to find us, or your Instagrams, your Platinum Championship Wrestling.
You could probably write off your Spotify account for at least that month, if not the entire.
And I mean, I worked on that thing for like 3 months, so that's a cool $38 savings.
That's taxable income going down. Okay, anyway, I apologize. Continue about Clemson NIL Dabo.
So, again, nothing, that story doesn't make big news. I would expect these kinds of things, if they're not already popping up, to be popping up. They should be popping up. It's a benefit to the college, because that's a better way to maximize NIL, which is only going to maximize recruiting. It's a benefit to the player because it helps them get better deals. It helps more people get deals. People outside of the football footprint with a higher profile, this helps everybody. They're going to focus in like getting digital space things and how to do all this and how to, and it's going to help Clemson because Clemson will be tied to it more than so than just the players. They'll be tied to this as well. Everybody is going to eat off this fat cash buffalo. But guess who had something to say?
I saw Fat Cash Buffalo open for the Dirty Projectors at the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. I apologize.
I will take umbrage with the Clemson part
Dolores
of
umbrage?
This. Someone not named Dabo said this thing. The Tiger Paw was one of the most recognizable brands on the planet. Let's pull back on that there, Clemson. Let's just pull back on that.
Like top 1,000, but I'm not going to say it's definitively Clemson.
I don't know if the Clemson Tiger Paw is number one Tiger Paw.
No offense to our Auburn fan listeners, but I mean, I don't know if Clemson is... Yeah. I mean, if you're a tiger or a wildcat, you're, you know, one of 30.
I think
30.
The tiger paw, I think the paws that 1990s, 2000s rapper Eve had tattooed on her are more recognizable. See, Shawnee is pointing right there where they were on his chest.
I know.
I think that's more recognizable.
God, Gwen Stefani.
Than the Clemson paw. But stick in the mud, Dabo. What did Dabo have to say about this? I'm not going to do an accent, folks.
This is why we need our former broadcasting partner, Freezer, Matt Freezer Creel. Because, man, he could really do a Dabo Swinney accent with that whistle at the end. That is just chef's kiss. Go ahead.
If I was more confident in my Dabo, I would do it. But I'm not confident in it. But Dabo went on to say, I'm against anything that devalues education. That's what I'm against. I'm for anything that incentivizes education. People will come after me because I've always said that I'm against the professionalism of college athletics.
Can I stop?
And I am.
Can I pause? Mm-hmm. You know what values a college education? Fucking fringe benefits, perks, other things. I'll go to college and play sports because while I'm getting an education, I will also get this.
Mm-hmm. And I do 3-a-days in this practice. It's hot, I'm tired, and I get a lot of concussions. Give me everything I can get now.
Dabo Swinney, he wants to be like the last person into Rags to Richesville and close the gate behind him.
Yes, that like, yes. I think you have hit on a point that nobody really makes about him. We love to tell his story, but he's like he's the crab that gets out of the pot and then drags the lid
it's crazy.
Over the pot and then goes and tells the chef, tap, 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 I think these crabs are ready to eat.
I mean, he is like Sam Jackson in Django Unchained. If I may.
Yes, you may.
Very loyal to his employers.
I can't believe that was not me that made that. That's really why I'm shocked and surprised. Dabo went on to say, kids don't know what they don't know. That's a slippery slope if you professionalize college athletics and you know you've got salaries and taxes and you can fire kids on the spot and they've got to pay for their tuition and they pay for their housing and everything else. Athletic directors would sign up for that in a heartbeat. They'd save money.
That's what they're offering.
I don't understand what the end of his statement has to do with everything I read prior to.
It completely contradicts what he said. And
also, if he cuts a kid, it kicks him off scholarship tomorrow, then that's the shape that young man finds himself in already. That already exists. NIL has nothing to do with that.
It's absolutely insane. He equates college sports kind of heading toward major restructuring as a complete blow up of what it is like now. And here's the thing about people in good spots. They're worried about a blow up because it's good for him and no one else. It's good for coaches and no one else.
Yep.
When schools get in trouble, coaches can go elsewhere without sitting out here. When they don't have to sit, I mean, you know, now obviously transfer rules are different for kids, but that's very recently. I mean, you know, God knows they make mind-boggling amounts of money. I mean, it is, I don't understand why he thinks he's going to get a slightly lesser piece of the pie if other people get theirs in this arena. And I don't think even that's the case. The NIL will bring in so much more money, he'll probably get paid more because that money's just going to be floating around. Or they're going to be able to use that money on new facilities and they're going to be able to get more recruits. It's I don't get it,
and
why he's a cartoon villain.
I don't know why he can't. I mean, I understand why he can't come out and say, look at guys, all NIL is the legalization of what we were already doing across the board.
I mean,
this is not a shot at Dabo.
No, this is not a shot at anything.
Because I am in favor of people getting paid to play football when there is so much money in the pipeline. That's old hat. But I get that he can't come out and say that. But he doesn't have to act like a college player receiving money to play football is completely new. Now, what he is doing by setting up the, I know people are going to come after me. We're going to come after you, Dabo, because you said the minute they start getting paid to play football, you were out and going to the NFL.
Yes.
And three years later, there were plenty of NFL hirings this last offseason, and you really do fit the profile for people they like to hire. I'm sure Jacksonville would have loved to give you a call.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Like, why are you not gone, dude? This is what you said. Your word was, if they pay him, I'm out. Well, Katz is getting paid. I saw his quarterback, whose last name I'm not going to try to pronounce, he was eating Longhorn or Bojangles or something on the TV last night, getting a check. Also, those donuts you have your wife cook, you don't cook that for the whole student body. That is an improper benefit. Secret witness.
Oh my God. Imagine Dabo Swinney's wife shutting the door in the face of the NCAA like Gene Stallings.
I'm here for that. If they pull that trick off,
y'all get out of here.
Get on out of here.
I'm just kidding. Everybody's welcome.
Everybody gets a donut.
Lord loves everybody.
Everybody gets a donut.
If you play football. Bottom line, Dabo Swinney's a villain. There was a complete article in Saturday Down South by author Kano Ogera, basically saying, so there is a wide receiver, true freshman for Bama. I'm not going to try to pronounce his first name.
Ajayi
Hall, who had a phenomenal performance at the spring game. And Joe Tessitore, you know, had some exclamations about how good he is.
He's gonna be great.
And then Conor O'Gara writes this article about the Ajayi Hall situation is exactly why we should take spring games for what they are. I'm like, wait, do you think it's like the Super Bowl?
I think he thinks it's the
Super Bowl. Like, do you, it's like, yeah, it's a spring game. Like, don't act like you're like the lone voice of reason in the college football universe by saying like, guys, it's a scrimmage. You know how many
running backs I thought were going to be great because of the spring game?
Do you know how excited I was for Mike Price's screen pass offense based on the one game he coached?
Do you know, if I'm right, Ajayi Hall was the receiver that dropped a pass in the national championship game. I gave up on Ajayi Hall in that moment. Spring game didn't matter. I probably yelled out, transfer now. Get out, you bum.
Oh my God.
Like, he was also the kid, like, it was, he was the first person I thought about when Saban did that that speech at whatever that luncheon was.
Yeah.
He was talking about guys not being ready in the moment because they thought they weren't going to play. He was the dude that first came to my mind.
For like, sure.
And look, he's a talented player, and I hope he does well. But once you get suspended at Alabama, I don't know what you got to do to get suspended at Alabama because we don't have a ton of them. But once you're that dude, you're toast.
Yeah.
Go. Get out.
And, you know, that is one of the things that kind of, like, you and our former broadcasting partner, Freezer, like, he, you know, y'all kind of brought me down to earth about recruiting because, you know, I'm just so excited every year about, like, recruiting and five stars and et cetera. But, you know, I mean, how many Jerry Rices and, you know, Tom Brady's are out there that, well, I guess Tom Brady probably was. Anyway, speaking of recruiting, as I was, I'm just going to segue myself there. Arch Manning, baby. Arch Manning news made a surprise visit to Virginia. He ain't going to Virginia.
He ain't going to Virginia.
This is Tebow just teasing Mike Shula.
Who? What young lady did he see on Instagram that said, come be a Wahoo? And he said, Wahoo.
Wahoo.
He said, yeah, I'll take a visit. Well, I don't have a clue where Arch Manning's going. Don't care where Arch Manning goes.
Until he is on the field with somebody wearing crimson.
Yeah.
Whether it's,
even if he's not. Yeah. Like,
no, well, I mean, with us or against us, that's the only time I'm going to care.
Or good guy. He's probably going to be good. But I'm sorry, guys. I'm never going to believe in any recruit again. It's just not going to happen.
Arch Manning looks like the kid standing next to the guy kicking my ass in college.
Yeah. You like that? I bet that was the thing Arch Manning said every day.
You got an invitation to this Deke party? We DKEs up in here.
I don't know when the train from Loser Town pulled up.
He really is a pop collar and sunglasses away from being like a villain in an 80s scheme.
Which is my kind of quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Hell yeah, man. AJ McCarry with the
Bama Boys.
No, wait. What
the skyline of Bama Boys was
Jamarcus Russell.
AJ McCarron had the skyline of Mobile,
and then he had like,
which is even harder.
He had like he had like a shirt pocket tattooed over his heart with Jesus peeking out. I feel like
he did.
That is true. I love it. 100% true.
I'm sorry. Multiple national championships. You have won your way into my heart. AJ McCarron. Sorry. Do whatever you want to do, kid.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game manager. One, you know, we're just going to run through, I think for the main story here. Are you ready to get to that? You have anything else?
I think I'm ready to do it. He did have Bama Boy. That was the singular. He was just a Bama Boy, whereas Jamarcus Russell were the Bama Boys. This is the second time I've been talking about Jamarcus Russell in a week. I could not remember his name the first time.
He threw a 70-yard dart from his knees.
And then he drank a lot of lean. Have you ever heard the infamous Jamarcus Russell film story?
I think it involves cold medicine, right?
That's lean. Yeah. Okay. That's what lean is. He drank a lot of that. So when he was a Raider.
What is lean a brand?
No, lean is a street name okay. for codeine and, you know, Sprite.
Like scissorup.
Yeah, same thing.
Like, lean like your little syrup. Wayne's talk about.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. But there's a story of they had a suspicion that he was not really paying attention in the film room. And so they sent him a bunch of tapes and said, make sure you watch these, Jamarcus. Absolutely. He gets back to the meeting the next day. Jamarcus, what'd you see? What'd you see on the... He said, well, I really thought that the deep game would be available to us based on what I saw. You know, thought we'd have some opportunities with some shallow crosses, some screen passing. I really watched them, really got a lot out of it. Thank you guys for sending me those tapes. The tapes were blank. He never cut them off.
First of all, those five
tapes were blank.
First of all, those five Ed Bastards are on the shallow cross. Second of all, I was expecting like the tapes to be like, Jamarcus, if you tell us what's on this tape, I will give you like
$20. There was nothing. There was nothing on the tapes.
Also, I would love to tell the story of a quarterback like Jamarcus Russell, but only in Jason Isbell songs.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Last of My Kind is probably up there.
I'm not sure that Cardale Jones was not Jamarcus Russell just going back to college.
God almighty. Well, I guess the main...
They both were very good at beating Alabama.
Man. That first year of the playoffs was not happy for Alabama fans. Urban Meyer tried to give it to us, too.
Tried to. 21-3. Never forget.
That pass? Why do you pass on that play?
Why do you call a naked bootleg outside with nobody there?
So weird. So weird.
It's just the tight end and every Ohio State defender. Every one of them.
No sense. There. It makes no sense.
It's the one time Blake Sims doesn't run the football. Like, that's the one time.
It's almost as if Urban Meyer has just been faking it this entire fucking time. Urban Meyer is like the George Costanza of like just like tripping over his own dick with like no actual positive qualities or no.
I can't wait till someone hires Urban Meyer.
I mean, it's a matter of time. I mean, it might.
I mean, what if he goes back to Utah? I think it'll be a real problem.
Honestly, I think that's the only way. I think that is a level that he can take that and not be embarrassed to take it. He's not going to be Larry yep. Coker going to UTSA.
Nope.
But
Utah's kind of that. The University of Utah is kind of buck wild crazy.
It's the drink in Salt Lake City. It's the drink in his town.
Yeah, like BYU is the Utah that we think of.
Wait, where is Utah? Is that Provo or is that Salt Lake City?
I think that's Salt Lake City, right?
It's gotta be.
Or, well, if it's not in either of those places, I cannot tell you because those are the two places I know in Utah.
It is in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, like, they're the buck wild crazy.
Yeah. Man. Reading about Mormonism. Anyway, our main
can you imagine the dances Urban could do in a Salt Lake City nightclub? Uh-huh. Open him up his own bar there? Come on.
Open it up his own Toby Keith's bar. I love this bar and grill. But all of them are wearing the Mormon magic underwear. Hold on. I think we got something here. It's like a Twin Peaks like Hooters situation, but it's just people wearing Mormon magic underwear.
And it's named after Mark Eaton, famous yes! Utah jazz.
Yes!
And it's called Eaton Ain't Cheating.
We did it! We did it!
We did it!
Guys, we did it! Oh, you know what?
Rating the coaches.
We got there. We got there. Our main topic, my poor dog thinks I'm so mad at her. The main topic today is part one of rating the coaches. It's something that we've enjoyed doing for years and years on this show. And this is going to be new for us because we're doing it again without our former broadcasting partner, Matt Friesen.
And more importantly, without his giant detailed spreadsheet.
Oh, I am. Well, yes, that is missed. His constant forgetfulness of what the ratings are will not be missed.
Well, I can tell you right now, I have forgotten them. I think it's a scale from 1 to 6.
Well, no, we're gonna, you know what? In the spirit of, in respect to Freezer, we're going to keep the existing 0 through 6.
Oh goodness, there's a 0. I forgot that. I don't even know what 0 is. All right, you're gonna have to remind me once. I'm only gonna ask for this once.
No problem at all. Okay, so right now we're gonna rate the coaches of the SEC East with a twist. Hankins, what's that twist?
On this podcast, Auburn is in the East.
Why is Auburn in the East?
Because we want to cancel the Iron Bowl.
Darn, gosh darn right. So we're going to run through the existing, I don't know why we would rate former coaches, of the SEC East football.
Brother Bill Oliver.
As we approach the draft and the beginning of practices kicking a high gear and everything, this is what we have found the best time to rate the coaches. We're gonna start with the SEC East plus Auburn.
And we used to do this for the entire country. So look, folks, if that's a thing you want to hear about, we love rating these coaches.
Oh yeah, it's our
favorite. It's our favorite thing. We're going to keep it to the SEC right now. But if one person says rate the whole country,
we're going
to
do the...
We will rate the whole country.
Literally every single coach. We previously only did Power 5. We'll do Group of 5.
All of them.
We'll do fucking high schools in North Alabama. We don't care.
I can't name
one coach right now.
Russ Probst?
No. Surely he's with his third family. Oh God! So our rating system in ascending order is 0. If you get a 0, there is a brick through your window. That is the Bill Curry Memorial. He's not dead.
Memorial brick through the window.
Brick through the window. Made famous by the brick that got thrown through Bill Curry's window while he was coaching at Alabama.
Someone.
Did he really just bridge Bryant and Stallings?
No, Ray Perkins.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Still. Perkins wasn't too bad. Number one, it's a little bit better than a break through the window, but we're going to back up the moving trucks because you're still fired.
Still fired, just with some dignity.
Number,
we will pay for the moving.
Number two, don't go house shopping just yet. We just need you to fire the coordinators. Number three, we're going to stay the course. We like what you're doing. We're not super excited to give you a contract extension or anything like that, but we'll see you next year. You're still hired. Number four, we're going to extend your contract. Number three years, couple extra milli. We might give you a Kia Sorento to drive around.
We just might.
A Nissan Sentra.
Might have an XM subscription in there.
Number five is we're going to build a statue for you. That is, you know, in previous rating the coaches years, we have built multiple statues.
We've built a lot more statues than you guys could imagine. David Cutcliffe has 2.
David Cutcliffe currently in our world has 2 statues, both awarded by me. For his time at Duke, which he just got fired last year. And number six, we're going to rename the stadium after you. It's going to be the Matt Hankins Stadium on Matt Hankins Field.
Matt Hankins Field on Matt Hankins Drive.
In Matt Hankins, Alabama. So, with that, of course, we're going to save Auburn for last.
Yes.
You know, we'll start out with Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. He came over as the defensive coordinator from Notre Dame. He has 1 year under his belt. He went 2-10 in his first season in Nashville.
Oof, my God.
Only beating Colorado State and UConn. And
that's bad.
UConn is barely a team.
That's bad.
And I mean that UConn might be the absolute worst team in the world.
Yes. Yes. I know it's Vandy. I know they're here to keep up the GPA. I know all that stuff. But the SEC East has got some winnable games in it every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this year, Florida would have been a winnable game.
Yes. next year, like, Florida will be a winnable game.
There was one big dog over there this year. And, you know, you're going to lose to them. Everybody else should have presented you at least one opportunity to get out. And even at losing two out-of-conference games, that meant, or winning just two games, that means he lost two out-of-conference games too.
Yeah.
You're going to fire somebody, bud. That's a two for me. You got to show somebody that you mean business here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even if you're Vanderbilt, even after your first year, I don't know. I'm going to say stay the course. That's a three.
He's always so generous, y'all.
That's a three. You know, he left Notre Dame, so you can't hate him that much. next, we have Billy Napier at Florida Gators' first year. He recently said, basically, we have openings at every position, seemingly courting people from the transfer portal. So...
I mean, as a first-year coach, there's not a whole lot I can do.
It's an asterisk, but like this time next year, what do you see Billy Napier's
score? Two, Billy Napier is still going to have to fire somebody. the days of – I was very famous for saying about Tennessee once, just stay the course with – I don't know if it was Pruitt or – who was before Pruitt, whomever that might have been. Oh, Trash Can Man, Butch Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I just said, just stay the course. Just try to wait Saban out. There's no sense in spending more money when it's not going to do you
any good. And I think that's the most ludicrous thing in the world.
Well, guess what? They'd be a lot richer and exactly the same position had they listened to me.
But do you just cash like the next decade? Saban can coach till he's 85.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Is now we might not be able to play that game now because he might coach till he's 85.
Sure.
Like at that time, that was when the Texas rumors were hot and heavy.
Right, right, right.
You know, we thought maybe
already backpedaling. Already
right. No, my man ain't going nowhere. But there is still some of y'all shouldn't be doing anything. We'll get to those later. But yeah, I'm gonna put Billy Napier at a two right now because the time is now. I'm telling you, man. If camp starts and that. Whatever their version of the A-Day game is called, the F-Day game. if that F-Day game goes off and the linebackers or the defensive backs don't look great, Billy Napier's got to show the world, I'm not here to be Dan Mullen. I am here to win at all cost.
They fired Dan Mullen. That's still so crazy. I guarantee you they call it Sunday in the Swamp, their A-Day. Only because Saturday was taken. You know, I think that the bar is... I'm going to agree with you on this. I think he's going to be forced to fire coordinators even after his first year, which I think is inappropriate, because the bar is so... The expectations are so high with Florida, and the cupboard is so bare. Yep. And so many people left. And if he comes in third in the East, that is that's a win. That is an absolute win for him. The East isn't exactly a buzzsaw, but if he comes in third, I think he's in good shape.
And I say that in part because the thing that really got Mullen, but one of the things that contributed to Mullen's troubles was the perception about how terrible Todd Grantham was.
Yeah.
And how he kept him around.
current Alabama defensive analyst, Todd Grantham.
Yes. So the point with Napier is what he needs some wins, but what he needs more than wins are those fans to buy into him.
And you,
because they hadn't had a thing to buy into in a long time. And I think if you got a guy down there swinging the sword, I think that at least might buy, that might tell you that you're, tell the people you are serious about your business. I know one of the, Spencer Hall, who is a college football writer and podcaster and just knows the sport, is really good. He is a Florida graduate, and he barely talks about Florida football because it aggravates him to no end. Like, you've got to win those hearts and minds.
Got
like, he, if that guy who loves the game as much as he does, makes a living covering the game, loves his alma mater, can barely talk about it.
It's like Chad Dukes with the Redskins, man. Sorry.
Same thing.
Like, yeah.
So Napier has got to come in there, and in as much as winning will salve all that, they've had guys come in and win before.
Yeah.
They were in the SEC championship game like 2-3 years in a row. Heck, they were in there a couple years ago and really came back and got after Alabama.
Yeah.
That game goes 5 more minutes. Well, hell, they almost beat Alabama this year. Yeah. 2-point conversion, and that thing's different. So Billy Napier's main task is show these people he means business.
It is. I think it's a good hire. I hope he gets a chance. You know, he's a former Alabama guy. the next one. Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri Tigers. Drinkwitz is 11-12 in his first 2 years. Feels like he's been there forever. He came over from Appalachian State. You know, he beat Florida last year, but you know, they also finished with a losing record last year.
I'm going to give him, this is his third year at Missouri.
And it's Missouri.
And it's Missouri.
Can we?
And he did win the fight. Like, he beat Florida and he also won the fight.
He beat Florida after Dan Mullen showed his ass the year prior.
Yes. So he would have bought some gravitas, not gravitas.
Didn't he show up as Yoda or Darth Vader or something?
So Mullen was Darth Vader, and I think Drinkwitz might have been a Jedi.
This is Halloween, right?
It was Halloween.
Jesus.
And then I think, did Drinkwitz, did he have the fight with Boston College this year?
Drinkwitz, Boston College. Yes. Oh,
like,
my
there
God.
There was some it was, argument about not wanting to go play there or something.
It was the most, like, polite, like, back and forth ever. Eli Drinkwitz explains why he's not a big fan of Mizzou's game at Boston College. This by no means is any knock on Boston College, because I think it's a great game, be a tremendous test, but us traveling to Boston is going to be a very difficult test. If I had to pick it, I'd love to play a regional matchup that was maybe more of a rivalry game that would maybe be a little bit more exciting for Chris to watch from a TV perspective. Or maybe we'll be playing in front of your family. I don't know. The last time Missouri signed a kid from the great state of Massachusetts, it's just, I don't think that's happened. And then, that is word for word what he said. And then in response, the Boston College coach, which I've forgotten because we're not ranking all the coaches at the Power Five conferences.
Pat Narduzzi.
He literally said, well, I just wish Eli would have told me and not said that in front of cameras. It was the most, like, polite, like, nothing, like...
It's the dumbest... So, because Drinkwitz will punch another coach in the face. I'm going to stay the course. Stay the course.
Yeah, he's...
We'll see what happens.
He's a stay the course for me. It is weird because Missouri has a very...
That's a 3 for the record, gang.
That's a 3 for me as well. I think Missouri's history in the USC...
What? That guy's drunk.
In the SEC is such a... It's so interesting because they made it to the SEC championship. Their first...
Twice!
Their first two
in years! The conference.
Of course, they got the living crap kicked out of them both times, but...
But who saw that coming?
I mean...
Like, what happened?
And it was probably Mark Richt era Georgia, so... Your next one is Shane Beamer from the South Carolina Gamecocks. Frank Beamer's son. First season at South Carolina was last year. They lost their first three SEC games before eventually beating Vanderbilt, Auburn, Florida. That went over Auburn is one reason why Beamer is above, is, you know, kind of had a, you know, a little bit kick in his giddy up last season. I believe he also got the Gatorade mayonnaise bath in the Duke's Bowl.
He did.
And he is playing with Spencer Rattler this year.
Oh, fudge, he is. He's another three. He's a three with a
Agreed. Totally agreed. Totally
agreed. That could turn into a four very easily.
100%.
You're South Carolina, so the expectations are typically about right. Like, that fan base is not wackadoodle crazy like we are.
They're not.
They got a little spoiled by the 10-win Spurriers, but they also know that that's the only coach to, like, ever win back-to-back. So they know what they are, and it hurts them to look across the street and see Dabo just throwing money around. If Beamer can keep it tight against Clemson and not just fall apart everywhere else, he'll be okay. So it's a stay the course, but a stay the course with a
Yeah, I mean, well, you have a close friend that's a South Carolina fan, and I mean, you know, it's always been kind of aw shucks, right? Like, have you ever have you gotten one way or another on how the one South Carolina fan that you know has a...
He is. I think he's just letting it ride right now. Like, he understands. Like, he understands that there's two losses on that schedule when they come out of the gate. And it's Clemson and Georgia. And in fact, that guy just did a speech this weekend to induct someone into one of our wrestling Hall of Fame.
Awesome.
And the whole thing was about how the person who he was inducting had gone out of his way to make sure that this person got to go with him to the Georgia-South Carolina game. And he said, and it just so happens that South Carolina beat Georgia 45-42 that day. And so that was his whole deal. So he's very realistic about what his team is. He wants a good effort. And if they can eight wins for them and they're okay. And if you mess around and beat Clemson or Georgia, you're a made man.
You know, stuff like that feeds into your column last week on 256today.com.
Yeah.
Every game is a game. Every game matters, man. And
you will hear us sound like jackasses because we're Alabama fans. Because we are a little ways removed from that time of our lives.
And we're also jackasses.
And we're just general jackasses. But I certainly remember a time when Alabama-Tennessee was a big to-do. And that game on either side had no national championship implications. So, again, all the rivalry stuff is great. You might hear us talk about the Iron Bowl and say, those guys hate rivalries. No, we don't. We just want them to be on the same level. And so, Georgia and South Carolina are not right now. But if you can sneak and get them, then it's a big to-do. You storm the field. I'll let you storm the field if you beat Georgia at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in my old age. I'm softening on certain instances of storming the field. Oh, let's go all the way to Rocky Top next, my friend. Josh Heupel did not look great in his first season. Picked it up a little bit, but came back, and I think he's actually got a handle on things in Knoxville now. He's had a good recruiting year.
Yeah.
Any initial thoughts on Josh Heupel?
So not based on what he has done.
7-6 last year, 4-4 in the conference, Music City Bowl loss.
That Music City Bowl loss is tough.
It is.
That's a tough one to have to deal with. But given the fact that a former quarterback, did he win a Heisman? Or am I thinking about Jason Whited? There's another, I think it was Jason Whited that won the Heisman, but it was another Oklahoma quarterback that had a strangely spelled last name that was overly complex.
He won the Archie Griffin Award, the Walter Camp Award, the AP Player of the Year, Consensus All-American. No Heisman in 2000.
But the point is, he is a former highly achieving quarterback in an offense where you really wing the ball around a lot.
Jim Harbaugh.
And those positions are more in high demand now than they ever were.
For sure.
And if you told me that the NFL came calling for a passing coordinator and they started to look for a guy like Josh Heupel. So, in that vein, Tennessee, I'm going to say protect yourself and extend the contract.
Whoa!
By four.
Wow. Just because, and you think that they're afraid, like, if they lose him, then that's a negative.
They cannot lose him to not being terrible.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot choose to leave them. They are not in a... They have missed on every coach since Phil Fulmer.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, Derek Dooley was a nice guy.
Was a coach who wore pants.
he remembered to wear pants every game.
So... Again, with the Saban effect, this Tennessee was the team I was talking about waiting out the Saban effect. Again, you've got to do it. That's what you've got to do. So you just got to lock this guy up so that he doesn't choose to leave you, because you cannot sustain it. I know a lot of Tennessee fans. I hear a lot of Tennessee fans. And as far as fan bases that I pity, they are number one. Because it's awful. There's nothing to look forward to.
I have a statter chat for you right now. Just looking at former Tennessee coaches. Every Tennessee head coach, non-interim, because Brady Hoke and Jim Chaney coached for three games between the two of them. Every head football coach from Tennessee has worked with the Alabama coaching staff since every Tennessee coach since 2009 has worked with the Alabama coaching staff. Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley is currently an assistant, an analyst. Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, of course, came from Alabama, and not Josh Heupel. So that is really freaking fun.
And it's still been 5,000 days since they have beaten Alabama.
That guy who responded to Senator Marsha Blackburn, awesome. Awesome.
Eviscerated. but yeah, like, they've got to do something. They cannot try to hire another coach for several years.
No, they really do have to put their eggs in Heupel's basket. I'm still going to say three, but I do understand three with a huh? Because I do understand that if they do lose him to, like, God, if Doug Marrone, I don't know if Doug Marrone has an offensive coordinator in place, but like
if Vrabel decides he wants to change this passing game up, and man, I'd like a guy that I really could trust who's got some head coaching experience that, yeah, that's just, you can't do it.
You know,
you cannot lose him.
What if
Brent Venables is going to be looking to build a staff, or he is, you know, built a staff. Things might change over there.
Sure.
Oklahoma comes calling, and if you are 6-6 in Knoxville, it might not be the worst thing to just bone out and be the offensive coordinator.
And honestly, like, depending on what the salary is, I might take a pay cut to go to be.
Might do it. I know we talk about that Charlie Strong thing a lot.
Yeah.
Because it happened to Auburn.
Yeah.
But at some point, people change. Like, that would have been unheard of a few years
ago. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the world changed. The pandemic made us different. And I don't want to overstate here, but like, the money is not the driving factor in every decision as much as it used to be.
For sure.
And Josh Heupel ain't going to be struggling for no money regardless. And so if quality of life outside of Knoxville is better at $300,000 less dollars a year, he might bone out. So protect yourselves, Tennessee. That's what I'm looking out for y'all.
You always have. You know, let's, I don't want to save all the big boys for last, so let's hit old Kirby. Just won his national championship.
Kirby is tough.
Breaking the narrative that he could never beat Alabama, finally did. If it weren't for Jimbo, he would be the first assistant to beat Saban. You could say arguably that his win makes you forget the Texas A&M Alabama game from last year. It's Georgia. It is Georgia, who I think is a program that is historically overrated, if I may say so. Because
I think the stats bear that out, than the fact that they just had been number one, number two, number three many times in our lifetime. And for the first time in 40 years, they won a national championship. And look, I just want to be clear here. We're clearly the better team. There is no, yes, Jameson Williams gets hurt. All those things doesn't matter.
No.
If Alabama and Georgia at peak, if everyone had everybody, and those two teams played each other 10 times in a row, I think it's probably 7-3 Georgia. Alabama happened to get them in the SEC championship game when Alabama had everything to lose and Georgia had nothing to gain.
Yeah, absolutely.
But pride. And so Kirby has built an incredible team. However, at the most important position on the field, Kirby's gotten lucky twice.
Long snapper?
Exactly. Kirby has gotten lucky with Jake Fromm stepping up and being something else. And that kid whose name I've already forgotten.
Stetson Bennett the
thank
fourth.
Thank you. This was not me trying to be mean.
No.
Stetson Bennett.
He has like, the game of a college freshman whose dad owns a dealership.
Absolutely. Like, they got lucky with those kids stepping up and, quite frankly, overperforming their talent levels.
Sure. Absolutely. And
in a very Alabama game manager way, they did it. So the only knock I have on Kirby is the quarterback position, because he also was the guy that had Justin Fields there.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
So he's got to tighten that up. But as a person with boots on the ground in Georgia, they're bonkers crazy. They love their dogs, but I don't hear it. He is not the Nick Saban of Georgia.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, there's a different culture in Georgia. You live in a major metropolitan area in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Huntsville is the biggest, is the largest city in Alabama. And the difference between Atlanta and Huntsville are countless.
Yeah.
The difference between Georgia and Alabama as a state of countless. Taking all that into account, is it culture, or is it just the way is it a different fan base mentality? What is it that, because it seems like Georgia just like, oh, we won the national championship. That's really great. It's been four decades. Okay, what's next?
Oh, no, they're insane.
Really?
Oh, no, it is.
Are they hunkering down, you hairy dogs?
These hairy dogs have hunkered down.
Oh, my gosh.
I think there is a sort of, we don't know how to handle this about it. They are not arrogant in any way.
Yeah, doesn't seem to be any arrogance.
The Georgia fan base annoys me because they're Georgia.
Sure.
They're not Alabama.
Yeah.
But when it comes to doing fanning, I think they've got their finger on how to do it, because they just love them dogs. They just love them. Like, they just, I don't know if losing all those years and getting close to losing. And, you know, Georgia has also never had the long run sustained success of Alabama.
Sure.
Again, they've won two national championships, right? Three now. 40, 80, 2021. So they've got
coming these long soon
gaps.
2060.
Yeah, these long, long gaps between, I don't think it was 80 or 70, whatever, but you get the point. But they have these long gaps. So I think they just try to enjoy the moment a little more than the rest of us do. They don't go on to the next one. They will eat off this championship for a while. And they're trying not to get their hopes up.
Yeah. So that answers my next question. Like, you know, they win next year. Does that mentality change?
If they win next year, let me tell you, they will shoot to the number one worst fan base in the country. Because that is the only thing that keeps them in check now, is they understand their gap is coming.
Yeah.
This is feast or famine for them. They have they have learned to be the grasshopper.
Yeah.
And store away that joy. Put that joy in the bank, because you don't know when you're going to get to eat again. If they were to win again next year, they're living like it's the Halcyon days, and they're going to eat themselves into a famine.
That's what I thought would happen with, like, Chicago Cubs fans, and that pretty much died out after about a month.
We figured out that they didn't actually have fans.
They're just corporate.
Yeah, they weren't suits. Actual fans.
Sam Pitt.
But we didn't rate him.
Oh, yeah.
We never rated
Kirby.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. Kirby.
I am between a 3 and a 5. Like,
yeah, me too. Me too.
Any of those things. Yes. But I'll say this. Because of how it happened, because of the team he beat, how he had to get there, you got to build a statue for this dummy.
Yeah. I was going to say extend the contract just because you just won a championship.
I think you got to build him a statue,
And like, when you retire, if he only wins one of these, when you retire, build a statue.
Give him his statue now, because it might not get pretty. It might get ugly.
Well, I was going to say, like, he already has a statue in the future. If he wins again next year,
two statues.
Four statues.
Wow. Yeah, I think that because I think we are so spoiled, we can't understand what a single championship is like. And also, you know, the clips of him coming out saying this is our fucking year, and him being so sold on this being the year. Like, every coach is going to say that to a degree, but I believed him when he said it. And to see him sweat and run,
I don't
and
hate
live and
it.
Die with it.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate him.
I think it's
he did a hell of a lot for me. As the defensive coordinator.
We've eaten.
Sure wish he was still there.
We've eaten so much over the past 15 years. We even had a one in 93, 92.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when other people like get up that aren't like Urban Meyer or Dabo Swinney, it's fine. Good for them.
I mean, dude goes back to his alma mater, drags that team to a title. Also had to suffer through second and 26.
Had to suffer through a lot. Had to suffer through that narrative that, you know, nobody's beat.
Nobody beats him. Nobody can beat him. Nobody can beat him. He beat him in the biggest stage. And, like, Alabama was coming in that game. Like, that game got to the place where Georgia always loses it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, it all happened, and he beat the narrative. And for me, that's the most important thing. That's what sports is to me, is can you beat the narrative? Because the narrative is very strong. So for that, 5.
I'm going to say, it's so tough. But yeah, I'm going to stick with my 4 and then a 2 of 5.
Now, if he flamed out in 3 years, I would not be shocked.
Oh, really?
I would not be shocked.
He has been coaching for a while.
If it all went south on him in 3 years, I would not be
But
shocked.
Like, going south is winning 9 to 10 games a season, and this is Georgia, so he'll be coaching Miami in 12 years.
Come on home, Kirby. Come back.
Grow that goatee.
Get that tee.
God, remember when Mark Richt turned into Miami Mark Richt?
I wish he'd been healthy. I think he could have turned that thing around.
I love that, man. Mark Stoops, Kentucky Wildcats. I can't do it like you can. Give me one of those Carolina Panthers. It's so good. It's so good. Mark Stoops, you know, they love him. They love him in Kentucky. They really do. And I mean, 10-3 last year, won the Citrus Bowl. I mean, Mark Stoops knows how to recruit. You know, he went 5-6 in 2020. I don't want to call him the David Cutcliffe of Kentucky, but he's been there for, this is his 11th year, I believe. He's been there since 2013. They love him there. Like, he knows the school. He's doing a good job. He almost in 2018, if you remember, almost won the division. If I can go first, I'm going to extend the contract on Mark Stoops. And if he wins a conference championship in the future, build a statue.
The thing Mark Stoops has done is he has over-delivered, whereas the main program at that university and their very high dollar coach has under-delivered. And this year, that coach, Calipari, lost to the Peacocks in the tournament. If Mark Stoops can come out here this year and win 8-9 games, he will have done those people a civic service. They need him right now. So they better extend that contract in perpetuity. Every year that he has a winning record, extend the contract.
That's the Mark Godfrey.
Absolutely is.
Set up. I'm just going on Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina, and last but not least, the once and future. We've already done a complete episode on this. Brian Harsin of the Auburn Tigers. Again, should be in the East. We know they're not. What can you say that we haven't already said about Brian Harsin's totally awesome and not stressful offseason for his family, himself, the fans? Last year was not great.
It wasn't great.
They, I forget how they won, their first... Oh gosh. They lost their final five.
Yeah.
They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They were 6-2, only losing to number 10 Penn State, number 2 Georgia. So sitting pretty. Then they dropped games to A&M, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Alabama, and Houston in the Birmingham Protective Bowl.
That loss to Houston, I hope, is sufficiently embarrassing.
I mean, it is in Birmingham. The one thing that the entire athletic department hung their hat on was that we get to drive to our bowl game, which,
yeah, saves money. But
next to last in the conference in his first year, it's his first year. Saban went 6-7 his first year. Harsin went 6-7 his first year. Obviously didn't have Derek Mason taking a pay cut to leave, you know, didn't have the issues with coordinators, didn't have the rumors, and then everything obviously piling on with the boosters trying to get him out. What would you rank him, and do you think he comes back stronger than ever, or do you think like he's already been crippled and he's just...
I mean, I want to take off my crimson colored glasses and I want to analyze this.
Here's the hardest thing about doing this.
Here's the Harsin.
We have a solemn responsibility, and I don't mean to sound like douchey about this, but we are Alabama fans. We say this freely and openly, but we're not going to talk nice about Auburn to make it sound like we're trying to be fair. If something's bad at Auburn, we're gonna give them shit about it. If something's bad at Alabama, we're gonna probably be even worse on it.
Oh, even worse. Even when things are just slightly good at Alabama.
So that being said, we're never wearing crimson colored glasses. So like, please proceed.
Man, the thing that bothers me most is not the off-season stuff, because that can happen to literally any coach in the SEC. If the right person doesn't like
100%.
You, it can get sideways. We've seen it at every school.
Especially at a place like Auburn or Alabama.
Absolutely. So I'm taking all that out. What I don't like is you had a team good enough to be 6-2. And then you dropped 5 games. You had Alabama on the brink with a peg leg quarterback. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Sure.
But the better question is, if you had Alabama on the brink, they were not having their day. Why didn't you finish them? Why didn't you get it done? Everything's on the line. You can turn the whole season around winning that game, and we are not having this conversation. We're saying stay the course. No questions asked. All that offseason stuff does not happen.
Oh, yeah.
You had it all. You had it all in your hands, and you couldn't get it done.
If you're 7-5 if you're 7-5 in your first year at Auburn with an Alabama win and an LSU win, which they had, that is an automatic state.
You are ready to go. The thing about that dude is this. I think it takes a certain kind of person to win at Auburn. I can't exactly define it, but obviously Tuberville had it.
Yeah.
Pat Dye had it.
Yeah.
I don't think Gene Chizik had it. Gene Chizik had Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. But Harrison is much more Chizik than he is Tuberville. He doesn't seem to have the fight in him that you need to have to win at Auburn. If I was an Auburn fan, I'd have put a brick through that son of a bitch. I couldn't have done. I can't deal with it. I could not have dealt with any.
Is that your official ranking?
It is not. Okay. It is not my official ranking. But he just does not feel like the guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they got to have an Auburn guy, because Tuberville wasn't that. Like,
no, he's.
They've got to have. You got to have a dude who can take 3 stars and turn them into 5s. You got to have a dude who's willing to stand up and look Alabama in the eye and spit in their face. Malzahn had it. Gus had some other issues that he just couldn't quite put all the pieces together, but he had the right kind of attitude to win down there.
Unfortunately.
He did win down there.
It is insane to see Saban's record against every coach except for Gus Malzahn.
But that's when you've got the guy at Auburn who's the right fit.
Saban is 15-0 against Tennessee in the last 15 years, and like 3-3 against Malzahn. I don't know what the record is.
Yes. Like, the Auburn coach has to be detestable on some level.
Yeah.
Pat Dye, notwithstanding. I think Pat Dye, because old fella and all that.
Yeah.
But Pat Dye had some meanness to it. Pat Dye talk a little shit to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tommy Tuberville would certainly talk a little shit to you. Gus Malzahn wouldn't say the word shit, but he'd talk a little shucks to you.
You definitely need that kind of swagger at Auburn.
You got to have some dog in you.
Because that's what Auburn is. Like, they're not like the evil empire Death Star that Alabama is.
They're not
is.
The landed gentry. They are the common man.
They have to be like the Lando Calrissian. They have to be the Han Solo.
That's nerd talk. I don't know what that means.
I just
Auburn will throw sawdust. Auburn will throw sawdust in your eyes in the bar fight. And that's what you have to be. They expect to win because they know they'll fight you harder. Like, they want to fight you.
For sure.
That's who you have to be.
Yeah.
I don't get that feeling from that guy. But they also can't just get rid of him yet.
No. Not after 1 year. I mean, we wrote
after this
in our column on 256 today.
Our stance was official. But it is a stay the course this year. And then it's either extend the contract next year or a brick through his window. This is it for that dude.
Yeah.
This is, as they say on the farm, nut cutting time.
I mean, this is probably the most accurate example of stay the course. When you're on a ship, and there's a storm to your left and a storm to your right, you got to be glad that you're stuck in the middle with me, because we don't have any other option.
No.
Next year, maybe.
Yeah. They don't have an option right now. But here's the thing, Auburn. You stay the course. But if that course includes, let's say they lose to LSU. No. That's not. LSU's a heap of shit right now. If they lose to Arkansas or Ole Miss, if they split that series, lose to Alabama and lose to Georgia, I know you're going to be sitting there at 10-3, and you're going to be thinking, okay, I want y'all to take a real hard look at that 10-3. And now, if you throw in an A&M loss, now we're at 9-4, I need y'all to take a real hard look.
Man, you know people are just going to see numbers, though. 9-4 is a runaway success next year for Auburn.
It will, but I'm telling you, you cannot consider that a success.
Yeah, and
you have a creed.
Creed is such. We got it too. We need to bring on an Auburn like historian to tell us about the creed. Oh, so yeah, I'm gonna say the course as well, and those are the SEC coaches, right? We hit Florida, we hit Georgia, we hit Kentucky, we hit Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, as well as Auburn, who very much should be in the SEC East. Hankins, anything else before we kind of wrap it up here?
I think we're done. My mother just texted me about the Judd's final tour, so now I got to get to booking that.
It is 10:26. P.M.
9:26 for her. She's still in God's time.
It's true. God. Central is the best real time.
It really is.
Anything else to add, my friends, before we wrap it up here?
That's it, folks. You tell us. We're going to do the West next week. But if you want us to do the whole country, you just got to let us know.
We are on Twitter at TTF Football. Website coming back at you. Stay tuned. We're excited about what's next. Throw the Flag Football, 2568.com.